Please notice that this entire discussion is about the administration of these United States, meaning the British Territorial United States, DBA, the United States of America, Incorporated. It is not about the United States, our country, nor does it concern our states of the Union, nor our international government doing business as the United States of America, an unincorporated federation of states. This is entirely, 100%, about the mismanagement of our British territorial subcontractors and their states of states organizations representing their own citizenry and their own district banks, which were set up in May of 1865 and operated as national bank associations, with the nations represented being all the British territorial persons slash residents identified as U.S. citizens in each state of the Union. Congressman Lewis T. McFadden was sitting in the British Territorial United States Congress when he gave the speeches and made the remarks being examined here. Now, as to how the gross mechanism of national identity theft and the siphon used to create national-level embezzlement works, please hear the words of Congressman Lewis T. McFadden as spoken on the floor of the House of Representatives and as recorded in the Congressional Record. In 1912, the National Monetary Association, under the chairmanship of the late Senator Nelson W. Aldrich, made a report and presented a vicious bill called the National Reserve Association Bill. This bill is usually spoken of as the Aldrich Bill. Senator Aldrich did not write the Aldrich Bill. He was the tool, if not the accomplice, of the European bankers who for nearly 20 years had been scheming to set up a central bank in this country and who in 1912 has spent and were continuing to spend vast sums of money to accomplish their purpose. The Aldrich Bills of 1907 to 1911 urged the creation of an emergency currency under the private centralized control of unaccountable private bankers, none of whom were elected by the public and none subject to any public oversight. That emergency currency was the Federal Reserve Note. The emergency was the 1906 to 2007 bankruptcy of the Scottish Interloper, the United States of America, Incorporated, set up and incorporated by the British Territorial Government in 1868. None of this has anything to do with this actual country, and is not anything that the British Territorial Government was authorized to do for us. This is entirely about their mismanagement of their corporations, their corporate bankruptcies, and their monetary policies, including their need for an emergency currency backed by private banks. McFadden continues, "We were opposed to the Aldrich plan for a central bank. The men who ruled the Democratic Party then promised the people that if they were returned to power there would be no central bank established here while they held the reins of government. 13 months later, that promise was broken, and the Wilson administration, under the tutelage of those sinister Wall Street figures who stood behind Colonel House, established here in our free country the worm-eaten monarchical institution of the King's Bank to control us from the top downward, and from the cradle to the grave." The worm-eaten institution of the King's Bank McFadden referenced is the same King's Equity Court Bank, established in association with the King's Equity Law established in the 1750s by Lord Mansfield. We have explained this pollution of the English common law with Admiralty law elsewhere, and the evils resulting from impersonating people as persons, i.e., corporations, belonging to the king. The end result of equity law is that the entire equity in individual private estates belongs to the king. The court salvages the king's interest in the vessels entered on the docket and, after taking a percentage for its own efforts, the CRIS account in this country, returns the rest to the Bank of England, which takes its cut, and submits the rest to the Royal Treasury. None of this, not the courts, not the law, and not the court/bank have anything to do with Americans. This is all about the residents, the foreign British territorial residents allowed to be here under the Residence Act to provide us with essential government services. The emergency currency known as the Federal Reserve Note was needed by these residents because they had exhausted the investors in the private greenback currency initiated by Abraham Lincoln, an earlier swindle in which investors paid in gold and were repaid with paper. Aldrich was proposing, without so many words, to replace the failing greenbacks, which had been funded by 1040 bonds purchased by private investors, with a private military, Admiralty, scrip backed by associations of private mostly international investment banks. This new emergency currency, the Federal Reserve Note, would naturally be a debt note issued by these private investment banks against the value of the king's interest in the resident's labor and earthly estate, administered under equity law. All that was left to do to create the siphon was a means to mischaracterize all the Americans as residents in their own country, that is, U.S. citizens. That part was accomplished by a various territorial Congress Maternity Act attempts ending with the Shepard-Towner Act of 1921. These private, unknown, unelected, unaccountable, and deceitfully named Federal Reserve banks now had theoretically complete access to all assets public and private in this country to use as collateral backing their issuance of Federal Reserve notes. They were enabled by the practice of fractional reserve banking to issue 7 to 10 times more credit than the value of the asset backing the credit. What began with enslavement of their own U.S. citizen residents was spread to the general American public via the undisclosed birth registrations, and it was so profitable that they extended the same criminal system to the Commonwealth and the 17 Western European countries and Japan which were occupied in the wake of World War II. To pay off the debt owed to the original greenback investors in Lincoln's 1040 bonds, the perpetrators introduced federal income taxes and 1040 forms, by which they taxed their employees and their dependents for the privilege of federal employment and the use of Federal Reserve notes. They hired the private foreign inquisition service known as the Internal Revenue Service to collect this tax as a war reparations collection, and brought the Internal Revenue Service ashore in this country as a Delaware corporation registered in 1925. For each American mischaracterized as a resident and U.S. citizen, via the undisclosed birth registration process, the territorial United States Department of Commerce additionally created a municipal corporation in the victim's name to act as a citizen of the United States, defined as a United States citizen under the Diversity Clause of Title 28, for the purposes of war debt collection under their defunct Scottish Corporation's 14th Amendment. This citizen was taxed on all federal income, and as the only currency the perpetrators allowed in this country was their very own Federal Reserve note, the circle was now complete. They did have to allow Americans to endorse checks and denominate them as lawful money and claim exemptions under Federal Title 12, which the vermin didn't honor, but, for the main, their objectives unlimited access to our credit and coercive means to illegally confiscate or control our assets was attained. Once created by the Territorial Department of Commerce, the brand new municipal corporations operated in the victims' names as United States citizens were shipped off to Puerto Rico for administration under the Spanish law of the Inquisition. Puerto Rico remains a British Commonwealth nation and retained the Spanish law of the Inquisition from its original land jurisdiction government. Thus, by equity law in maritime commerce and by Spanish law of the Inquisition on the land, the perpetrators sought to place themselves in an impenetrable legal cocoon by first impersonating their victims and then subjecting them under foreign law systems given to abject despotism. Quoting McFadden again, "The Federal Reserve Bank destroyed our old and characteristic way of doing business. It discriminated against our one-name commercial paper, the finest in the world, and it set up the antiquated two-name paper, which is the present curse of this country and which wrecked every country which has ever given it scope. It fastened down upon the country the very tyranny from which the framers of the Constitution sought to save us." McFadden was greatly respected as the senior member on the House Banking and Currency Committee for more than 10 years. Here, by his testimony, we see that prior to the Federal Reserve System, only one authority appeared as the issuer of credit and that authority was singularly responsible for it and in control of it. Most importantly, the American Federal Republic Office of the Secretary of the Treasury was a public office appointed, but still accountable to the public. The Territorial Office of the Secretary of the Treasury, meaning their private corporation's treasury, is not. Under the Federal Reserve System, two private, unknown, unelected, unaccountable corporation employees acting under deceptive job titles issued the Federal Reserve note. These characters, calling themselves the Secretary of the Treasury and Secretary of the United States, respectively, were the officers of a District of Columbia municipal corporation calling itself the United States of America and another foreign municipal corporation residing in the District of Columbia calling itself the Federal Reserve.